building bridges, fostering engagement between medical directors and facility staff to create optimal outcomes, part two, a conversation with Dr. Jean Storm. This webinar included a visual PowerPoint presentation. To view a video recording, visit the link in the description of this podcast.
Good afternoon, and welcome to our series of webinars focused on bringing you information about COVID-19 related topics. The information in these weekly webinars is geared toward long-term care and skilled nursing facilities, but we encourage everyone who's interested to attend. My name is Kathy Caudill. I'm a communications specialist with Quality Insights. Today's webinar is Building Bridges, Fostering Engagement Between Medical Directors and Facility Staff to Create Optimal Outcomes. And this is part two of a two-part discussion. Now, before we get started with today's meeting, today's presenter, Dr. Jean Storm, has been delayed for the presentation, so our quality improvement specialists, Deborah Wright and Penny Imes, will kick us off. But I'm still going to read Dr. Storm's bio so that we have that handy when Dr. Storm gets here. Dr. Storm is medical director here at Quality Insights. She has a background in nursing home care, internal medicine, and healthcare leadership. Most recently, she served as Associate Medical Director for Optum United Healthcare. She has also served as Regional Medical Director for 38 long-term care facilities in West Virginia. She earned her DO from Lake Erie College of Osteopathic Medicine and completed her postgraduate training at Mill Creek Community Hospital in Erie, Pennsylvania. I believe Deb is going to get us started. These slides were created by Dr. Storm, and Deb and Penny will be walking us through these first slides before Dr. Storm gets to join us.
All right, thanks, Kathy. So we'll review the objectives for today's presentation. So during this time period together, the session will equip us with the knowledge and tools needed to leverage the medical director's role, ultimately enhancing the patient outcomes. We'll learn how to integrate the medical director leadership. Hopefully Dr. Storm will be back to guide us through that to improve the overall quality of care provided in nursing home facilities. We'll also gain a comprehensive understanding that we can actively the roles and responsibilities of the nursing home medical director beyond clinical care, how the medical director is involved in the policy development, how they can help with staff education, and your facilities quality improvement initiatives. We will work on the practical strategies to foster that collaborative relationship between your medical director and the facility teams by promoting communication, engagement in the policies, the educational programs, and your overall QAPI activities. We'll also talk about how medical directors can actively contribute and shape the facility care policies, ensuring the alignment with regulatory standards and promoting a culture of continuous improvement. And I think that, you know, Dr. Storm has talked about that quite a bit. It's more than just give me the attendance sheet and sign that I've been to your QAPI meeting. They really need to have that involvement and contribute to what your quality improvement initiatives are and how you're going to accomplish that by looking at your policies and the regulatory and that constant improvement with everything that you're working within the facility. So what is the difference between QAPI and performance improvement? Or quality assurance. So quality assurance is that organized structure, processes, and procedures, and they're designed to ensure that your care practices are constantly applied. So it's those policies and procedures that you've put into place, and you are just auditing them to make sure that they are working the way you hope them to work. So an example is your facility wants to improve pressure ulcer rates through the new purchases of better beds and staff education. You want to ensure that you maintain your low rates. So how do you do that? You track that by your MDS quality indicators monthly, and you develop an indicator of all in-house pressure ulcers. Your nurses would track this data every month and report it to the QAPI committee. And your goal that you've set for yourself was less than 3%. So as long as you're less than 3%, you're not going to do anything else because you know that the system that you put into place at your facility is working. So what's performance improvement? Performance improvement is that ongoing interdisciplinary process designed to improve service delivery and resident outcomes. So you've identified now that maybe there's a system that's broken, and how are you going to work together as an IDT team to resolve that issue and improve the care that you provide to your residents? So an example of this is your facility has a high rate use of antipsychotics. You create a group to review records of those that are on antipsychotics with a focus on those that have a diagnosis of dementia. During your process of reviewing these records, you want to make sure that you track all new antipsychotic prescriptions, as well as the reductions that you've attempted to put into place, with a goal of reducing new prescriptions and increase the amount of reduction trials that you do. Your interventions will focus on staff education and mentoring to select non-pharmacological options to improve your performance. So you've identified the area of concern. You've created basically your PIP team of who's going to look at those antipsychotics. You're going to focus on those with dementia. And then you're going to look at your prescriptions and your orders that you have for new antipsychotics. And you're going to track those that have had reductions to see if they've been tolerated, and how you've done your non-pharmacological interventions to prevent those new antipsychotic prescriptions. So I think Penny's going to talk about this.
Hi, thanks, Deb. So really, when you're talking about QAPI, pulling together quality assurance and performance improvement, I think a lot of us who have worked in long-term care for a while, you know, we're familiar with the quality assurance piece of it, where we're really looking at, you know, measuring our compliance with standards. And for long-term care, that means this annual surveys, your surveys, making sure that you have everything in place for those inspections. So that's kind of a required or reactive response to what's happening in the nursing home. And a lot of times under QA, we focus on the outliers, the bad outcomes. And then there was generally that management group, you know, that would take a look at what was happening, do the reporting, and come up with solutions. Where performance improvement comes into play, it is really continually improving process to meet those standards. So you're not measuring yourself against just the average standard. You're not reacting to surveys. It's looking at what is happening within our nursing home, using your risk assessments, identifying what you need to work on and improve, and it's putting processes in place that will help you to do that. So you're looking at prevention, you're being proactive, you're choosing wisely with good systems and processes what you're going to be looking at. And you understand that bad outcomes aren't necessarily, you know, it's you're not blaming somebody, but you're looking at what is happening within our process or system that we can make better so that this doesn't happen again. And it's involving everyone. And when we say everyone, that is the medical director, the facility staff, the residents, the families. And so that is really the purpose of QAPI. It's merging those two, quality assurance and performance improvement, together in looking at all of your systems. And I think we're back to you, Deb.
Yep. So what are the F tags? What are the regulations that surround QAPI? So I know we've talked about these in the past. There are five of them that surround QAPI. So the first one is F865 that deals with quality assurance and performance improvement, your actual program. And that's where all of you have to have policies and procedures that are developed, implemented to maintain that effective, comprehensive QAPI program, focusing on your indicators of the outcomes of care and quality of life. And there are fantastic critical element pathways that are available. That's exactly what Department of Health is going to follow as they're evaluating your QAPI deficiencies. So you really want to make sure that you pull those off as you are reviewing and or updating your QAPI policies and procedures so that you make sure you hit all of the bullet points that are on that critical element pathway, because that's exactly what Department of Health is going to be following as well. You then have F866, which is the feedback and the data and the monitoring of your QAPI program. And as part of your policies and procedures, you have to establish and have a way that you are going to collect that feedback. How are you going to collect the data for your systems? How are you monitoring it? How are you tracking your adverse event monitoring, such as your falls, your med errors, pressure ulcers? Do you have a process in place to collect all of that and review it? And then F867 is the program systematic analysis and systemic action. And that's, again, another part of your QAPI program and your policy. How are you going to implement those actions? How are you going to measure the successes and track the performance and know that your performance have been sustained and put into good process? F868 is quality assessment and assurance, and that's your QA committee. Do you have, at a minimum, what they are requiring you to have? Do you have the DON? Do you have the medical director or a designee? A number of us have nurse practitioners or physician assistants that are in the building on a more regular basis, maybe than the medical director, and maybe they're the ones that are assigned to be part of that QA committee. You still want to have your medical director involved somehow, but maybe you also have that nurse practitioner or PA that's also part of your QA committee. And then you want to have other members of the facility staff. One must be your administrator, owner, or a board member. And you can have other members, that, whether it's your activities, social service, a nursing assistant, dietary, maintenance, housekeeping, whatever members you feel are most pertinent to provide that information for your quality improvement processes. And then they've now added that the infection preventionist has to be part of that QA committee as well. And then the final one, F944, this is where the training comes in. So quality assurance, performance improvement, how are you doing your mandatory training that outlines and informs the staff of all the elements and goals of the facility's QAPI program? Does the facility staff, does the nursing assistant and the housekeeper, do they know how to report areas of concern that they feel processes may be broke and need to be looked at further and look at the QAPI processes surrounding areas of concern? Do they know who to go to and how to report all of that to the QAPI program? And this could not be a more better place, because our fearless medical director has now joined us. We'll let her catch her breath. So those are all the F tags. Again, I can't reinforce the importance of looking at the critical element pathways. I know when I was in the facilities, that was the best thing to pull that off, especially when there's changes. Pull those critical element pathways and just go down through each bullet point and make sure that that's included in your policy and procedure, and that's what your staff has been trained on. All right, Dr. Storm, are you ready?
I'm ready. I can be QAPI in my sleep. We love QAPI. So when we're talking about quality assurance or process improvement, so when we think about tracking the temperatures of food, so that's not really an intervention that we're doing. That's just doing an assessment. So we're just doing, you know, quality assessment. We're just kind of seeing what is the temperature of our food. If we know we have a problem with temperature over time, then of course we're going to enter the PI realm and do an intervention. Tracking weight loss, again, that's a quality assessment. But then if we're looking at possible causes, then we're looking at process improvement. If we're tracking hospitalization rates, that might be a QA. But then if we're discussing causes and interventions, that's more of a PI. And then medical director signing falls reports each month. Again, just checking a box, getting things done, not really doing an improvement strategy. We're just kind of, the medical director is just like, ah, we had 12 falls. Okay. I mean, that doesn't really help us a whole lot to do improvement. So that's more QA. So this is the five elements of QAPI per CMS. It's a little bit difficult to see here. I have a little bit of more description in the next slide, but you can download this resource at the link that's listed. And this will tell you everything, all the components that are included in QAPI. So the five elements, it's design and scope. QAPI is going to be ongoing, comprehensive, full range of departments. We want to have QAPI projects ongoing all the time. And just because we have kind of completed and we've got to where we want to be, that doesn't mean that we can't kind of continue to assess and see if we maybe need to revisit it in the future. Governance and leadership, we have to make sure that leadership is creating a culture that encourages input. So if someone, a staff member notices that the response time for call bells is more than 10 minutes, then there needs to be a culture that allows staff to bring that concern to leadership so it can be addressed and a process can be created to help improve it. All staff is accountable. Also, we need to have a culture of feedback. We need to have a culture where we're monitoring data systems. We're monitoring what is going on in the facility. We're not going to know if there's a problem unless we have systems in place to do some monitoring. And PIPs, we need to have, this is a concentrated effort on a particular problem. They examine and improve care services and areas of needing, of course, vary across the facility. And then we have to make sure that the facility is using a systemic approach to determine when analysis is needed. Root cause analysis is a really good way to determine if there needs to be an intervention. So this, again, is another slide from CMS. So this is how the five elements for framing QAPI kind of fit together in nursing homes. And as you can see, they're kind of building blocks. And we really, QAPI is meant to improve quality of care, quality of life in nursing homes. So these are kind of how all of these pieces fit together. So root cause analysis. So when we think about root cause analysis, it's really pretty basic. So I think it's really important to start with the basics, because if we just say, oh, we know why it happened, blah, 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 we miss things. So I think when you have a problem, and we're going to be kind of talking about some sample problems, when you have an issue in your facility, it's important to kind of go through the steps to really determine the cause. So we want to determine what happened, we want to determine why it happened, and then we can figure out what preventive measures we can put in place to fix the problem. So this is just a sample. So say if we have a resident in the Hoyer lift and the resident is lifted from the wheelchair to be transferred back to the bed, and the lift begins to sink towards the floor due to the resident weight exceeding the limits of the lift capacity. And then a CNA attempts to swing the resident over the bed so we prevent a fall. So perhaps the CNA saw the Hoyer lift kind of tipping and did not want the resident to end up on the floor. So swung the resident over to the bed to avoid the resident falling over to the floor. And then the Hoyer lift tipped. The resident eventually fell to the floor, and then the Hoyer lift fell on top of them. And I'm sure you've heard stories like this. I have heard stories like this as a medical director. So this is the perfect place to put root cause analysis into action. So we can use the five whys in our root cause analysis. Why didn't the CNA have the equipment needed to care for the resident? Needed equipment is hard to find. Why is that? Not enough specialized equipment to care for residents who have unique needs. Why is that? The anticipated number of residents with unique needs and are not known. And then Why is that? There should, so we get down to, so it may look at the very beginning of this scenario that the Poyer lift tipped because the equipment needed to care for that resident wasn't available. And that we may just stop there. Oh, the equipment was available. But we need to kind of drill down to actually determine what the root cause is. And that's why we do the five whys. And we arrive eventually at the statement that the strategic planning and budgeting process does not include projections of the equipment needs of residents with unique physical and psychological needs. That is the root cause. So we need to fix that before we start fixing anything else above. So plan, do, study, act. So this is the cycle that we go through with a QAPI project. Plan, what change are you testing? Who's going to be involved? What data do we need to be collected? What do you think is going to happen? Do you have a hypothesis? We're going to implement this change and we're going to see reduction in falls. What resources are we going to need? Then do, we're going to test on a very small scale. Maybe you test for just a half of a hallway, document the observations, and then collect the data. Then determine if the change resulted in the expected outcome, any lessons, any surprises. Is it a success? Is it a failure? Compare your results to your prediction. And then act. Are we going to implement the intervention? That's adopt. Are we going to change it, which is adapt? Or if it didn't work, or if it caused something worse, we're going to get rid of it. We're going to abandon and we're going to start this cycle all over again. So designing a QAPI plan, we're going to identify a problem. So say our problem is we have a high level of UTIs, or we have a large number of pressure ulcers, or a high number of opioids, whatever. We just need to just determine what the problem is. Then we're going to determine the team that's going to be involved in the plan. Could be many members, it could be few. You're going to answer the three questions of the PIP goals. You're going to do the root cause analysis and ask five whys. And then you're going to do the plan, do, study, act, and repeat this if needed to get to an intervention that fixes your problem or makes an improvement. So we're going to be talking about QAPI in action, real life examples. This is my favorite, probably my favorite part, because we see if we make a difference. That's why we're doing this. And that's why CMS wants to do this. CMS wants us to institute these QAPI plans, projects into our facility, so a facility can identify an issue that needs to be improved or a process that needs to be improved, can implement stages, steps to cause improvement, to fix the problem, and then do this in any area that is a problem in the facility. So urinary tract infections. Your facility has an increase in the number of urinary tract infections in the last 4 months. The facility urinary tract infection rate is now more than twice the national average compared to 4 months ago. So we're going up. Urinary tract infections are going up. The infection preventionist approaches the director of nursing about the increase. So this is a perfect QAPI project. Steps, we're going to identify a problem. Our urinary tract infection is high. Decide on the team, determine the PIP goal, ask the three questions. We do a root cause analysis, and then we do a PDSA, a plan, do, study, act cycle. So this is the sample. This is if we were in our facility and we want to work on this as a QAPI project. The infection preventionist prints out a list of all the UTIs in the last 6 months and speaks to the medical director. They determine that there's been a substantial increase, so they're identifying the problem. Infection preventionists and medical director meet with the director of nursing and nursing home administrator about the UTI rates, and the UTIs are broken down by date and unit. And I think that this is really important that you look at the data and you look at your trends in your facility to try to determine what is actually going on and where you need to focus your efforts. So here, in this case, the UTIs were found to be on one unit, which is often the case where you're just going to see an increase in infections in maybe one unit. So your goals, your aim of your PIP Your PIP, your PIP goal aim is to reduce the number of UTIs. How will we know if we have an improvement? We will have less UTIs diagnosed, as well as less UACNSs ordered. So we can determine what we're looking for. And that is our determination. We will also have less antibiotics used in the facility. I think those are huge goals, but that's fantastic if those are your goals. And then the change we can implement, we, in this case, utilize an algorithm for UTI diagnosis and treatment. So we tell the medical director, or maybe the medical director says, we are going to implement an algorithm for UTI diagnosis. We're going to, if the resident does not fit into these symptoms, then there's going to be no UACNS ordered. If the urinalysis doesn't fit into this category, then antibiotics are not going to be ordered. Implementing a process like this can improve UTIs in your facility. So why is a UACNS ordered? Why are there more UTIs in a particular unit? These are all things you can ask. Has there been a change in staff? Has there been a change in care that is being done in unit? Is there one provider that is ordering more of the tests of a UACNS? And are there certain residents who are being diagnosed with multiple UTIs? Are we thinking about colonization here? So these are all things that you need to be thinking about when developing a plan. So the PDSA would be implementing an algorithm for UTI diagnosis and treatment. Start small. We're going to track then results of UTIs over time. And then if, say, our intervention is to implement an algorithm and we don't show any improvement or it gets worse, we're going to abandon that plan. We're going to start something else, you know, whatever it may be. We're going to do different type of pericare. We're going to do institute a toileting program. We're going to have more water given out in the facility, which has shown to actually improve UTI rates in facilities. So these are interventions that you can do in your facility, and then you repeat as needed, or you adopt the intervention if it works, and then you move on. Okay, another QAPI plan, opioids. In this case, the medical director has determined that almost 50% of residents in the facility are receiving opioids, which is very, very high. After a discussion with the director of nursing, they determined that new admissions admitted to the facility on opioids continue with these orders indefinitely. That means if a resident comes into the facility, they're admitted, and they come in with a new prescription, which is what often happens according to studies. A lot of residents come into nursing homes on opioids from a hospital stay, but weren't receiving them prior to the hospital stay. And then they just stay on them forever. So now you have a chronic opioid user. So that's what is determined after the medical director speaks with the director of nursing. So five steps. There's too many residents receiving opioids. The team is going to be the medical director, the director of nursing, the ADON, the nursing home administrator, the pharmacist. So the aim, we want to reduce opioids. The improvement is we're going to have fewer residents receiving opioids and less opioid adverse drug events. And the change that we're going to implement is an opioid tapering plan for new admissions who come in with new orders for an opioid. We're going to start tapering on admission so we slowly reduce those new admission opioids so they don't continue indefinitely on an opioid. So root cause analysis, why are opioid orders running indefinitely? Why aren't there other modalities? We can do this. And then our PDSA cycle, an opioid tapering schedule is initiated on all new admissions who had opioids started in the hospital or not taking opioids prior to hospitalization. And then we can track opioids over 4 months and see if that makes a difference. I have done this directly with facilities and it works. And they have reduced their falls also. So that's like was an added benefit. So this does work, but you have to do it. So to get your medical, I was kind of tying in the last week, you know, to engage your medical director, I honestly feel most providers, most individuals want to make a difference. They want to feel like there's meaning, they're making a difference, they are improving things. So it is really important to communicate with your medical director about the importance of QAPI initiatives and the improvement that can happen. And then encourage your medical director to develop ideas for QAPI. They may just be sitting back, but they may say, you know, we have a lot of residents with dementia who are sitting around a lot. Let's do a QAPI project around activities and engaging with music or art or whatever. You may be surprised at what your medical director offers. And then I would ask your medical director, what is going to make your job here more meaningful? Would it make you feel good to improve a star rating? Would it make you feel good if we had fewer falls? Would it make you feel good if we performed better on survey? What would make your job as a medical director meaningful? And I think that you will be surprised at the results. I think it's really important. So we know that if we have purpose, so like I said, with engaging your medical director to letting them know that they have a purpose and that they can fulfill their purpose in the facility, we know that companies that have a purpose-driven culture have a more satisfied workforce. So we have higher levels of workforce retention when employees feel like they have a purpose, like they are making things better, like we're improving things, we're improving the life of our residents. And I think that it's really important when you disempower people and staff and tell them, just do your job. That doesn't work. And that's probably why we are losing so many individuals in the nursing home. But if you bring them in and say, we want you to make a difference, we appreciate your input, let us know what you think would make things better, and you engage staff in this process, you can have higher levels of workforce retention.
Dr. Storm, I'd like to thank you for joining us again this week. I'd like to thank Penny and Deb for tapping in at the beginning of the presentation. And I'd like to thank all of you for joining us and hope to see you again soon.
If you would like to contact Dr. Jean Storm, you can reach her at jstorm@qualityinsights.org. You can check out our other interviews at qualityinsights.org/QIN/multimedia.